Sean Emery. Sean is one of the driving forces behind the Kisby Fund. Now, Sean, there's been quite a lot of coverage of Kisby. Certainly, we had a webinar last week. Mark is an original. What's he like to work with?
Mark sets trends wherever he goes, right? He's often a first for everything. Great to work with. He knows exactly what he wants. It's very difficult to waver him off that path, which is good to work with.
So just for those who weren't in our webinar last week, last Thursday, in a nutshell, what is the Kisby SME Fund?
There's been a lot of discussions around SME funds and this need to lend to SMEs. I think everybody understands that we're in a climate where it's going to be very difficult for our small businesses in South Africa. And I think everybody who's reasonable and rational at the moment is saying, well, we need to structure funds differently to support the growth that South Africa needs. Kisby is an initiative alongside lots of others that have been announced. I mean, there's a new one announced today, effectively a new fund that's coming out. It's called, you know, from Capital Investment Partners for another 5 billion rand. I mean, there's one going to be one pretty regularly. But what it's indicating is that there needs to be an alternative source for funding for small, medium-sized enterprises over the next 5 years. Otherwise, our country just won't grow where it has to grow. And we aim to be one of those funds. We aim to be very different. We have a different approach to it. What's interesting is that we are going to marry private equity and banking together. I think that's very important. You've got to marry these different sources to be impactful in what we need. You can't just be like we were for the last 10 years.
You also apply technology. I think for me, that was the differentiator.
So if I had to talk about, you know, why I think what we do is different, we have to scale capital. So our whole difference comes from the ability to, the way we're raising our funds, so we have an impact capital and senior debt. We're using technology so that we can be highly efficient in how we get that debt spread. And then I want to use the technology to make sure we can crowd in other capital alongside of us. Lots of these players in this market tend to think that it's a competition. But we've built platforms which allow us, there's obviously 4AX Debt Services, is that we can originate loans and analyze them with huge amounts of efficiency and accuracy and autonomy with the technology platforms, apply an investment committee approach to it, so almost one-on-one. We can make a decision, which is this is something we need to fund. We think we can fund it. We fund it. And then we make it open that other people may choose to lend alongside of us. And this means, in that way, our capital, or the little capital we got from the impact investor, is scaled by the senior debt and scaled by all the people we can bring alongside of us into this. And say, look, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're prepared to give this person 100% of the money they need. But would you like to give them 5% or 10%, whatever, alongside of us? And we just stand back a little bit and we try and scale and grow the capital. I think this is what we've always spoken about, Alec, is that if we can use these technologies and use these platforms, we can create the ability to really scale the lending capacity to these markets. But there has to be an initiator. And that's perhaps what I didn't have in the past when we did these things just marketplace. It didn't have the initiator of these things, the market maker, as you might call it.
How have you been received?
We have two different approaches. The first is when you go and talk to capital, they say, well, this is going to be a tough segment. SMEs in the next 5 years, how are you not going to lose the money? Because we all think there's going to be a collapse of the market. On the other hand, we get people who are saying this is a great opportunity and we should be making investments now because the time to invest is where others are running away and there's a great return to be made. So you've got this fear and grief. Our job is to try and balance those two together. So we can get the people who are the greed and try and get them to tone down the returns they might want from our fund. And the ones that are fearful, we have to say, look, we know what we're doing because we're going to have this private equity approach and this banking approach, and we not have to have the time frames which cause stress on companies. We're also going to have support services through SME support and some assistance, and we're going to be able to carry these guys through and marry those two together to get a rate which is fair. It's quite easy to now go out into this market, go to private equity clients, as all these funds are doing, and say, look, there's going to be distress. Give me some money. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to buy cheap assets as cheap as I can because there's stress and you're going to make a killing. You don't want that kind of money in a fund of our nature.
So not a vulture fund.
No, we're not. And I can see there's vulture funds all around us now that are coming up. I mean, there's a statement in Bloomberg today which says that Because of the company's pandemic, there's going to be great opportunities to acquire businesses which are under significant pressure. High quality businesses are unduly punished, and the virus will mean that we can take them out. That's a vulture attitude. We will not have that. Therefore, we don't want people to fund us who have that attitude. And that's what's different, Alec. When you go and fork in this market to raise money for a fund, it's very hard. You get the development capital, you get the pension fund capital, and then you get this corporate capital, which is so used to spinning in that upper echelon of chasing the 20%, 25% returns from the stock market. And you've got to say, guys, you've got to take a little bit of that and we've got to put it into our own SME economy and our own economy that we can actually grow these engines of employment. Otherwise, we're all going to be having these conversations about how many people are dying of diseases. You know, let's try and put some of that, and we can protect the returns by being so much better at what we used to be able to do and schedule things together. That's what we really hope to achieve. We're trying to do it for 10 years. We hope we can get better at it.
So back to the question that I asked earlier, how have you been received? Not just the greed and fear, but have you found sufficient ears that are actually hearing you when you say, this is much bigger. It's much bigger than making a quick killing.
Yes, we've definitely been well received. I think it's been very interesting that there is an open mindedness now that something has to be different. We have found in the conversations with our own government-based, or let's call them development agencies, clearly understand that there's an urgency. I mean, I think we saw it in the way that National Treasury responded with their $200 billion support to the banks, and they're stepping in where they can. I mean, we're obviously limited in our economy about where we can step in, right, given the debt situations we're in and what can actually participate. So that process of knowing that your role as government is actually to be an impact, to be an instigator, to be a catalyst, is now getting more and more understood, that they can actually use capital markets better. I think Mark has been exceptionally good at talking around that logic to people, that effectively to be catalytic is your responsibility. It's not actually something you're doing for the help of the fund. You're catalytic because you have to be like that. Less people that are employed, you know, means you haven't got liabilities, not assets. So to create your assets as a country, you have to invest in it. And that's been very well received.
That's aligned with the entrepreneurial development state, if you like. If you read Mariana Mazzucato, who's kind of the high priestess now of economic policy in South Africa, she's all about the state invests heavily to provide the structure, the foundation. But then clever entrepreneurs can come along and make gazillions out of it without giving a heck of a lot back. And she uses examples like Apple, Microsoft, Google, and so on. So her thesis is the state should actually have some kind of a ability to keep reinvesting, because it also participates in part of the return, which I think gets to what you said before. You need to leverage it. You need to be a catalyst. You need to almost use state capital as well, much more sensibly.
Well, technically, state capital have to be rude to some degree. Some of the state capital that is in these impact agencies has been exceptionally lazy. It just buys into existing projects. It funds senior debt. It doesn't do any innovation of itself. I mean, if you had taken the $200 billion guarantee National Treasury debt, just give $1 billion to a fund and say to them, can you scale it to $5 billion? Now, $200 could have been a trillion if you had spread it out. But the banks are never going to try and scale and leverage. The banks will take that 200, they'll bring it in and they'll protect the loans they've got. They'll lend to people who are the existing clients who maybe got into trouble and they got a guarantee. So they protect the deposit takers, which is good. You have to protect deposit takers and protect the banks. But in that context, it's around them. And the benefit of it is also true, because the way we plan to structure our fund is that the development capital partner will own the return and be able to participate in the return of some of those SMEs that are hyper successful. And that hyper success will breed more money for reinvestment into the bottom entity. So in Silicon Valley, for example, why is there so much innovation? Because the guys that made a lot of money reinvested the money, and they made a lot of money and they reinvested. You got these funds created like Sequoia, created by people who've made a lot, and then they continue to reinvest in the cycle. So if that capital can belong to the state, effectively the state. I mean, in these development agencies, they're the ones that are having the 5 or 10% equity portions that is a bit of the carry in some of this funding over time. And that suddenly becomes exponential. They can reinvest that and then still scale it. So this approach, where I've been interesting for me to see, and Mark uses the analogy well, government, I suppose, in a way, used to, perhaps from a bank point of view, walk past a field and see a bull and a cow together and see, well, okay, that's meat, you know, for this meat. Whereas now we're going past them, and when they're looking at this, the bull and a cow, and they're saying, actually, that's a herd. If I just give it time, water, feed it, I can create this exponential with my money. And that's a very interesting approach in the mindset now, to not just see things as what is for one budget to the next, but to see things as a 20-year cycle.